Good morning, Poplar Springs family, and good morning to all of those who have decided to join us for worship this morning. Thank you for choosing to worship with us. As we begin our time together this morning, I only have a few announcements. If you are a youth and you are interested in going to Caswell, I know right now a lot of things are still up in the air and we're not sure what our summer will still look like, but if you are interested in going to Caswell, the deposits for that are due on February 3rd. And Nicole still has spots available. Now, I encourage you, if you are wanting to go to Caswell in the hopes that we can go, please sign up, pay your deposit, because Nicole has said that it is refundable if the trip gets canceled. So, if you are interested in going, make sure you call Nicole and get your spot reserved. Contribution statements and 2021 offering envelopes are located in our main church office. So if you would like to come by and get your contribution statement, or if you've not picked up your offering envelopes, they're in our church office and you can pick them up there during the week. If you get our newsletter, you know that we have a section of prayer concerns for those who are homebound, and we have ongoing prayers. This morning, I want to let you know a few other prayer concerns to be specifically praying for. Jerry McSwain. This is the father of Mike McSwain, grandfather of Matt McSwain. Be praying for him. He had heart surgery this past week. Susie and Clyde Buckner have traveled to Florida for a type of treatment for Susie and her pancreatic cancer. So be praying for them as they are currently down in Florida for the next 3 weeks. Sherry Caudle, who is the sister of Janet McSwain. She had surgery this past week in relation to her cancer, so if you'll be praying for her. And Jimmy Beatty, he is awaiting some test results, so we know Jimmy would appreciate your prayers as well. All of us probably have someone on our heart, someone that is sick or dealing with the struggles of life, that we want to lift up to the Lord this morning. If we were here amongst each other, we might ask you to say those out loud. So wherever you are, if you're at home or wherever you may find yourself watching this live stream this morning, I'm going to ask that you just in this moment speak the name of one or a few people that you know of that are on your heart this morning that you want to lift to God in prayer. So I encourage you to lift those names out loud right now. Would you join me as we pray together? Father God, we thank you for the chance to be together. Perhaps we're not together physically, God, but we're together in spirit. Thank you, God, for the avenues of technology that allow us to still be in your presence and to still be able to worship you when we can't be in your house. God, even though we've come into a new year, we're still facing old challenges and old struggles. God, we're still fighting an uphill battle. So God, this morning we lift up our leaders, whether they are leaders in education, leaders in ministry, leaders in our government, all of those who are making hard decisions for us, God, we lift them up to you, asking for wisdom and discernment. God, for those who are struggling with financial issues during this pandemic, for those who have been hit by this virus and are dealing with sickness from the virus or dealing with the effects of having a loved one who is dealing with the virus, God, we lift them up to you, knowing that you are the ultimate healer and sustainer. God, for those who are still struggling with not being able to be around those they love, for those who feel closed off from the world, who feel anxiety and depression from this world we find ourselves in, God, we lift them up to you, knowing that you offer a peace that passes understanding. God, in these times and in all times, may we be a beacon of your light and your love. God, as we continue in worship this morning, may you remind us of the importance of being in your presence no matter where we are. And God, may you challenge us to live our lives as holy living sacrifices for you. Amen.
Promises a thousand times. I tried to hear from heaven, but I talked the whole time. I think I made you too small. I've never feared you at all, no. If you touched my face, would I know you? Looked into my eyes, could I behold you? What do I know of you, who spoke me into motion? Where have I even stood but the shore along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? What do I know? What do I know of holy? I guess I thought that I had to out. I knew all the stories, and I learned to talk about how you were mighty to say. But those were only empty words on a page, and then I caught a glimpse of who you might be. The slightest hint of you brought me down to my knees. So what do I know of you, who spoke me into motion? Where have I even stood but the shore along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? So what do I know? What do I know of holy? Shore alone. Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? Lord, what do I know? What do I know of holy? What do I know of holy?
Good morning. I'd like to share with you some words from Romans today. I've been in Romans for the last couple of weeks, and we'll be there for a while. But today we have kind of a transitional passage of Scripture where Paul is talking about the fact that there comes a time to talk about it and there comes a time to do something about our faith. And this is a passage of Scripture that you've probably read many times. You've probably written it in the front of your Bible, probably memorized it, because it's a very important passage of Scripture, a transition passage, which I'll share with you right now. Comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The words of Paul. Therefore, I urge you, my brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the words of Scripture. We thank you for the words of Paul to the Romans and the Jewish Christians there. And I pray, God, that you just help us to understand and seek more understanding about what it is you want from us in our lives, that we will offer our lives as living sacrifices to you, and help us understand what that means. Give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us direction, and speak through this Scripture today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Paul has spent 11 chapters talking theology, writing at length about salvation and grace and mercy and Jesus. He's talked about it a lot, explained a lot. We've heard a lot about that. Then he begins in verse 12 talking about what that means for readers then and for us today. What does it mean for them then, and what does it mean for us today? All this talk about Jesus and his salvation by grace. In a simple transition is a sermon within itself. There is a time to talk about God the Father, the all-knowing, the all-powerful creator of the universe. There is a time to talk about God the Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, sent to give us real life. There's a time to talk about God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living within those who follow him, the guiding entity within us that helps us as we grow in our relationship with Christ. There's a time to talk about God and his work. There's a time to do that. But then the time comes to do something with all the information. We can gather all the information in the world, but we have to do something about it. Paul is talking to the Romans, obviously. But Paul had dealt with the Greeks as well. The Greeks had a way of talking about things and arguing about things and discussing things to the point of doing nothing about it. The Romans probably did this as well. And we do it as well. We do it also. We talk about things. But the time comes when the talking stops and we do something. Paul makes a transition in chapter 11 with a majestic doxology and a heartfelt prayer. In verses 33 through 36 of chapter 11, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him all things are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And then we have chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and it's play ball. It's time to do something with it. It's kind of like the last crash of the cymbal after the national anthem at a football game. Let's go. Or when I go to a Clemson game, we have the Tiger Walk where the players walk through all the fans. They walk through there, and we try to get their attention. We try to talk to them. Try to talk to Dabo and some of the folks. Make sure they know we're there supporting them. Then comes the time when you run down the hill, and it's big. It's big because that's the time when we get all excited. But then it's time to play ball. It's time to do something. time to do what the expectation is, to play ball. The remainder of the letter is here's what is expected. The remainder of the letter to the Romans is here's what's expected. Their expectations of the Romans then. And as we read the letter, we find their expectations of you and me as well. Their expectations of us. Chapter 12, verse 1 begins with this word. Therefore, which means I have given you all the prior information. I've argued my case for this purpose. I've said what I said because now I want to tell you what to do with all this accumulated wisdom. First, he said, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Sacrificing yourself means full dedication, wholehearted devotion to God and Christ and his purposes. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, you never hear, go find a second-rate, blemished, sick, unusable ram or lamb. A sacrifice 1/8 of it to the Almighty God. You don't hear that. The sacrifice is to be top quality, unblemished, valuable, worth something. And the same expectation is the same expectation as we offer ourselves to God for his service. It's the same expectation. We don't serve God because there's nothing better to do. We give him our best. We don't offer half-hearted attempts at service. We don't operate out of guilt or obligation or out of routine or ritual or habit. We operate out of wholehearted service to him. We serve God voluntarily, gratefully, and going as far as putting my needs aside and sacrificing for his purposes in the world. Sacrificing for him, sacrificing our lives. Sacrifice entails an element of placing yourself second or third in the line of priority. Second or third, even further than that, down the line. It's not about me. It's not about me. This is a quote I've heard many times from numerous places. It's not about me. It's not about me. Having the finest things, being the most wealthy in the neighborhood, having all the power and popularity, it's not about that. As Christians, our priority is that God is worshipped and glorified in the life I live. That's what we're all about, that God gets the glory, to God be the glory, great things he's done. Our job is to take it seriously. If we take it seriously, is to make the kingdom of God our priority. Sacrifice means we make it a priority. God has seen his experience and experienced and shared with others as I live for him daily. I live for him each and every day, and I show others what Jesus does in my life. That's what it's all about. That's what it means. The word sold out is a derogatory term for many, meaning to yield to surrender, to forget about beating them and joining them. It's important to remember that. We're to be sold out to God in Christ. We're to be sold out to God in Christ. We'll never defeat his purposes, so we join him in the world. We join him in the world. We give up the fight and accept the fact that his way is the only way. We yield wholeheartedly to the way of God exemplified in his son, Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We sacrifice. We do it his way. We've decided that's the way to go. In business matters, it's not always the bottom line and making a profit. That's not what it's all about. It's not maximizing profits. In a personal relationship, it's not about what's best for me. What's best for me in the relationship? What can I get out of the relationship? In time management, sometimes I put my agenda on hold and look at the other agenda, God's agenda. Are you willing to be a living sacrifice? Is that something that you can choose to do, that you will do? This is where the rubber hits the road. It's where we find our mettle, prove our mettle. We seek first the kingdom of God and offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That's what we do. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That's what Paul commands us to do. Forgive me. We're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Conformed, to be pressed into a mold. About 100 years ago, my brother and sister and I received a Play-Doh Fun Factory. That's many years ago. Play-Doh's been around for quite a while. It was a neat little item that I really enjoyed. You took a blob of Play-Doh, placed it in a factory-shaped receptacle, placed a little plastic pattern on the end of the receptacle, and with a lever you pressed out a variety of neat shapes. All these different shapes, noodles and logs and stars, among other things that conform to the attached mold. We're often referred to as blobs of clay in Scripture, talked about as being clay. Clay, before it is dried, can be shaped and made into a number of different things. We can be conformed to the way of the least resistance, coming out formed in the ways of selfishness and the world, greed and materialism and consumerism. Or we can let God shape us. We can let God shape us, offering our lives voluntarily to him, saying, shape me, God. Shape me. Make me who I need to be. Make me more like you, practicing love and joy and compassion and mercy and faith. Make me like you, God. We seek to do as Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, verse 8. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. We're not conformed by the world. But Paul goes as far as to say we are transformed. Transformed by the renewing of our minds, he goes on to say. The renewing of our minds. We're changed in our minds. The simple thing is to make shallow resolutions and face and surface changes in our lives. That's the easy thing to do. I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. I'm going to change that in my life. Paul is saying that it's deeper. It's changing our heart. And it's changing our mind. Changing within. It's renewal. It's being made new from the inside out. Renewal being made new from the inside out. I'm a painter. That's what I did for a number of years. I'm not a carpenter. Many times I was asked when painting a house, put some putty there or put some spackling here. Plaster over the flaws. With enough of this, you can make a problem appear as good as new. You can make a piece of wood look brand new. But oftentimes, the work needs to be done right. Reinforce, renew, and redo it. Not just a coat of paint. The renewal of the mind is more than a surface job. It starts from the inside out. It starts with a structure within. It's a different structure within us. We're different people. We're different on the inside. It's renewal, a change in attitude. It's renewal, it's a change in motive, the why we do things. It's renewal, it's a change in focus, how we look at things. The renewal occurs as the Holy Spirit that dwells in us guides and changes our mindset. Do you realize as a follower of Christ you have the Holy Spirit within you that changes your mindset? As the teachings of our Savior Jesus Christ enlightens us, the teachings of Christ, do you take the time to read the Scriptures and read the Gospels? Jesus Christ tells us things that can enlighten us. As the kingdom of God becomes our priority. That's what it's all about. That's our priority, living the kingdom, making sure that gets done. The Spirit working in us takes us to the next level, in purity, in holiness, in unselfishness, in practicing love for all people. It takes us to the next level. Nicole sang about holiness, something that we strive for, and sometimes it's hard to come to, but we practice holiness in our lives. We begin seeking the will of God and not my way or society and culture's way. We become different. We become a different people, not for the sake of being different. There are plenty of folks out there being different just for the sake of being different, but being salt in a bland world, a bland and tasteless world, and a light in the darkness. That's what we're called to be as we offer ourselves as sacrifices. Our minds are renewed and we no longer possess the former mindset. We have a different mindset. When we are renewed, we're given the ability to test, approve, and determine the will of God, to seek out the will of God. It's our nature. It becomes our nature. It becomes who we are. Oswald Chambers described it this way. No longer do you approach a situation and say, I wonder what God's will is in this situation. I wonder what God wants me to do. We aren't acting without any thought or caution or impulse, but we simply are on the same page with God. We know what we're supposed to do. We don't ask questions. We just live and do the will of God. It's who we are. It's a part of who we are. It's our structure. Our minds have been renewed. We want to do what pleases Him. We want the approval of God. We value the approval of God above the affirmation of people. It's more important than the affirmation of people. As Paul gets practical, we need to be remembering a couple of different things. As he takes the preceding information and places the firm foundation on Jesus Christ, he tells us what needs to be done. He tells us what needs to be done. How we need to act on the great news found in Jesus. How we need to act on that. One, be a living sacrifice, a wholehearted sacrificial gift to God. Let Him use you. Let Him change the world through you. Be a different person. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. The second thing is this. Don't let the world shape you. The world wants people to be just alike. Wants us to be identical. Be different. Not for the sake of being different, but for the cause of Christ. And three, be transformed. Let God change you from the inside out. He can do that today. He can change you in the power of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit working within you. He can change you. He can make you different. You can be transformed. And you can turn your life over to Him today. You can give Him your life and say, God, do with me as you see fit. Make me the living sacrifice I need to be. Would you like to do this today? We want to offer you the opportunity to do that. If you'd like to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ, do that. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Be different. Offer yourselves to Him. Let Him renew your mind. Let Him renew your body. Let Him renew who you are. Make you a different person. Would you like to do this today? You can. By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. you can do that. It's difficult in this time of pandemic when we're not together, but if you need to make a decision, make that decision. But please let us know about it. Just between you and God, but you can let us know about it if you decide to make a decision today. It's important that we do that, that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God and Jesus Christ. It's important that we do that, and we make the decision to follow Him and do it to the best of our ability, do it with all our heart and all that's within us. Let's pray together. God, we want you to change us. We want you to make us different people. We want you to make us who we are in you. We want to be living sacrifices. We want folks to see in us the life of Christ, not us, but Christ. I pray, Father, that as we go through this world, that we won't let the world shape us and make us what the world wants us to be, but we'll be a different people, a people following Christ. I pray that people will see Jesus in us. God, as we gather to worship, it's a tough world out there. A lot of meanness, a lot of difficulty. And that's where we have the chance to be a different people. That's where we have the chance to live the sacrificial life as we love our enemies, love those we disagree with, and know those with strong opinions and those who are making life miserable for many people. We love them and we care for them and we pray for them, praying for change. Make us a new people. Make us a renewed mind. And I pray, God, that we will seek to change our attitudes toward the people out there, that we will love them and be your people in the world. Father, transform us. Transform us. Come into our hearts and our minds and transform us. Transform our attitudes. Transform our mindset. Make us different. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you again, Poplar Springs, and whoever else has joined us today for worship. If you are a member of the Poplar Springs family, just a reminder this week that if you cannot get a hold of Catherine or Andy or myself, that Joey Bridges is the deacon of the week, and he would love to hear from you. Will you pray with us one more time? Father, only a handful of us will be leaving the church building today. Most of us are already at home and at work and at the store, and so we are already moving about in the world. We are already poised for your work, already on the front lines of the fight, with another opportunity to be used by you to share love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, compassion, and mercy with people like us that yearn for a glimpse of you, for a glimpse of promise and hope and healing. Will you open our eyes to see it? Guide our minds to understand it, and move our hands and feet to embrace it, and break our hearts that we would be willing to do the hard, dangerous, risky work of loving the way you have loved us. May our lives bring you glory this week. Amen.